it's all about democracy and we just need to focus on that and we should just do business as usual, make capitalism happy. That's just fuzzy thinking. So yes, there's a challenge in democracy. It's central. If we can't get broad collective agreement control from the people that allows us to force emissions cuts, we won't solve the problem. That's true. It's also true that we have to make decisions. Go ahead.
We just have 5 seconds. David Keith, I hope we can do part two of this discussion. It's clearly an important one, but we can't do it right here. David Keith of Harvard University, Gopal Dianeni of ETC Group and Climate Justice Alliance. That does it for a week here in San Francisco. Special thanks to our crew here, Neil Tanner, Conrad Slater, Jack Morris, Alan Filippi, Norbert Lee, Farah Munawar, John Jordan, and Felicia Quarta. Democracy Now! I want to thank the team here, Ariel Boone and Libby Rainey and Mike Burke and Dennis Moynihan and John Hamilton and Hani Massoud and Carla Wills. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
WHFR is having our Big Bad Blues Bash fundraiser at PJ's Logger House in Detroit on Saturday, October 13th from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. Featured will be three of the best blues bands around town. Appearing in order will be number one, Big B and the Actual Proof.
Put those heels in the air, drank some stiff alcohol. Had a first job, no terminal. She always said she would hear.
Number two, Bull Halsey.
Take down my baby. You know she saved my life.
And number three, the Boa Constrictors.
Baby, just to drive you wild. Once I have you in my arms, it makes no sense.
All we ask for is that you be 21 or above. Make a $5 contribution solution and have a great time. That's WHFR's Big Bad Blues Bash Saturday, October 13th, 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. at PJ's Logger House, 1254 Michigan Avenue in Detroit. This is an event that you will not want to miss.
Please join WHFR.FM 89.3 for blues music on Highway 61, Friday, 2 till 4 p.m. Each week, DJ Kitty Love brings the best in new blues releases in Detroit blues to Henry Ford College Radio, WHFR.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views and opinions expressed on the new WHFR Journal are those of the hosts, producers, and guests, not necessarily those of WHFR, its licensee, Henry Ford College, or its Board of Trustees. Enjoy.
Good afternoon. It's the new WHFR Journal here at 89.3, online at WHFR.FM, making waves. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. Let's see, we've got we're gonna talk about animals, I think, on our show today. A little bit later on, we're going to talk about the dedication of the new Friends of Animals of Metro Detroit shelter here in Dearborn, and maybe a few other things to take up the hour. But wow, we had a great conversation last week with our new president here at HFC, Russell Cavahuna. Yes, right, exactly. It really was. It was a great time getting to meet him, and I know it's part of his getting to know everybody here on campus and sort of charting a path for the future of HFC.
Yeah, our listeners, I'm expecting at this point, do know that we are celebrating our 80th anniversary as a college. But if you didn't know, there's a fun fact for you. And this 80th year will be filled with all sorts of things like dedications and opportunities to look at our history, but also to sort of, as you indicate, sort of chart that path moving forward. And stay tuned for opportunities, especially if you are an alumnus of Henry Ford College or Henry Ford Community College or Fordson Junior College, which it was even before for that. We will be certainly sharing information about ways that you can reach out to have a even more connected and directed opportunity to celebrate this 80th anniversary. So lots going on, and we're very excited about it. Speaking of lots going on right here on our own campus, boy, next week is the big celebration of welcome to Henry Ford College students, staff, faculty, administrators. It's really for everybody, but most importantly, we want to surround our students with love and support as we welcome them either here for the first time or back to our campus. We have opportunities for events going on all week long, and our WHFR booth will be on hand right here in the building that we broadcast from. It's building M here on the Evergreen Road campus of Henry Ford College. So we'll be participating in what's called Welcome Days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week from 11 until 1. We'll just be out for a couple hours each day, meeting and greeting with our students, letting them know about this gem in our campus community and our community at large, WHFR, and also ways if they want to get involved and learn more. So there will be an overwhelming amount of information, I'm sure, for the new student of a college campus, but we're going to break them in pretty quickly and get them acclimated to campus life, right?
Well, yeah, and obviously we want them to get them to know us here at WHFR. We couldn't do what we do without the volunteers, including quite a number of students here at Henry Ford College that are a part of it. Welcome days, welcome back days. Yeah, I know it's only the fourth week of class, but we still call it welcome back days.
That's right.
We've got a lot of activities going on. The student club fair, there's going to be DJ and karaoke on Tuesday afternoon. We're going to have musical performances over the course of the week from a variety of different organizations, including the HFC Chorus. And then, of course, one thing that's very important, the Get Out the Vote campaign, which will be a part of Welcome Back Days, too.
Yeah, that's going to take place right here in this building again, the M building, right at the very front of campus. And this is the building that houses our 5101 restaurant, which we'll talk about in a little bit, as well as our Skylight Cafe and a nice meeting space for students. So between the hours of 11 and 2, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week, if you or your student or a loved one has not officially registered to vote for this upcoming November election, and you want the opportunity to vote in that election, well, you need to register and you need to do it pretty quickly. So we're making it very, very easy. You can do everything you need to do to officially register right here at our college campus on Evergreen Road. Again, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. We're encouraging our student population to at least register. You know, it's always that, I can't vote. I wanted to, but I didn't do it. And now, well, this way, register, you vote, you don't vote, it's your decision. But ultimately, if you want to vote, you'll be able to. And that's really important. We certainly are in a political time where there's a lot of passion going on. There's a lot of ups and downs and a lot of very strong opinions. So if you want to have an opportunity, even at the last minute, to get in on that come November time, come November election, you're going to need to do that sooner rather than later, and that is registering to vote really September, very early October, so you'll qualify to be able to vote in the November election. But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday right here on our campus.
Well, and of course, to register to vote, just to remind, you need to be at least 18 years old by election day, and we're talking about the November elections, so that takes place November 6th or 7th, I think, whatever that first Tuesday is in November. Don't have the calendar in front of me. You need to be a resident of Michigan. Obviously, you need to be a U.S. citizen, and you need to be a resident of the city or township where you are applying to register to vote. You can get more information in terms of what kinds of materials that you need to bring with you in order to do that by going to michigan.gov/vote, but also the opportunity will be available for you here. And then obviously you will, you know, find out where your local precinct is and where it is that you go to vote from there, and what kind of, you know, identifying information you need to have in order to actually, you know, be able to vote on election day.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having some of our local faculty members in the upcoming months, Alan, to talk about some political issues. Certainly, we have a political issues conference that takes place here every fall on our campus, and Tony Perry, political science instructor, is very vocal and very active in getting students to want to learn about the process and, in fact, be a part of a potential change if that's something that's on their minds. So we have great resources right here in our own community. Our college community, and we look forward to sharing some of that with you as well. Speaking of this building, it's a beautiful facility. We're very happy to be housed in this M building, the Student Center and Culinary Arts Building. There is an opportunity to connect with our students through culinary means, and that is with the reopening for the season of the 5101 restaurant. It's the best kept secret in town. That's what everybody says. You get a great meal. You get it for a reasonable cost, and you get people that are serving it, that are cooking it, that are promoting it, all very passionate about what they're doing because they want to work in this industry. So our culinary arts students are doing great things and making great strides in providing a great product for you. So if you want to plan to come on campus this fall season, there is always a bevy of different meal options, different menu themes, and so on. But most importantly, the 5101 is getting ready to open back up again.
They are indeed. They'll be open on Wednesday, starting at 11:30. They serve lunch and dinner at different times. They're open normally Tuesdays through Thursdays from 11:30 to 1 o'clock for lunch, and then Wednesdays 6 to 7:45 for dinner. I believe, if I look correctly, next week's menu is going to be the late summer menu, which actually has a lot of nice things on it. You can get more information by visiting hfcc.edu. They will be open starting on Wednesday, September 19th, which dovetails nicely into the welcome back days taking place here at the HFC campus. One thing I want to mention, which actually is not going to take place in this building where our studios and where that restaurant is situated, is going to be taking place on Tuesday from 10 to 11:30 over in the Administrative and Services Conference Center, the Mazzara Building, which is just south of us here in the Rosenau Ballrooms. Autism Awareness Information Center session will be taking place on Tuesday from 10 to 11:30. HFC Campus Safety is hosting an Autism Awareness Information Session, which will explain what autism is, how to help and support those who have any form of autism. Obviously, it is a very important subject and topic in our world today. The speaker is going to be Richard Bazzi, knowledgeable in the area of autism. He understands the importance of being aware and helping those in need. He's hosted autism awareness sessions with the Dearborn Police and Fire Departments and other agencies throughout Michigan. The session is free and open to the college community and possibly, I would assume, public at large as well. That takes place Tuesday from 10 to 11:30 in the Mazzara Administrative and Services Conference Center. What is that? Building L. So look for the great big L right at the corner of whatever Evergreen and the South Drive of the campuses.
Exactly. Yeah. I had the pleasure of talking with Richard Bazzi a couple of times, and I'm telling you, he is passionate is way an understatement. He has some stories to tell that will knock your socks off. So it's a very important subject, as Alan mentioned, and we encourage you to come out, check it out. We all have things to learn, certainly, and as medical changes develop and so on, we are learning more and more indeed about the efforts that people are making to try to combat, deal with, and live a normal life within the confines of autism. So we encourage you to be a part of it. This and so much more, Alan, there's always something going on, and that's why we have the new WHFR Journal, to showcase events and opportunities for our community as well as our campus community.
Isn't it great to be in the middle of a new school year?
It really is.
It's the beginning, but it seems like the middle already because there's so much going on, and of course stuff going on in the community that we're going to talk about here a little bit later on in the program, right?
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. More to come. Please stay with us. This is the new WHFR Journal, Fridays 1 to 2, right here on 89.3 FM.
WHFR's annual record sale is Saturday, October 27th, and vendor tables are going fast. If you are a vendor and wish to participate, email us at whfr@hfcc.edu or give us a call at 313-317-6579 to reserve your spot now. WHFR's Record Show is a yearly event held right here in the Student Center of Henry Ford College, and one of those vendors could be you. Call now to reserve your spot for Saturday, October 27th.
This is the new WHFR Journal right here on 89.3 FM, or perhaps you're listening on the web at whfr.fm. So glad you're here. Susan McGraw, along with Alan Mazurek. And Alan, the time has finally arrived. Drum roll. Well, not really, but we're so excited. Oh, that works.
Yeah, I'm not a drummer. I'm sorry.
So very excited for two reasons. First of all, we have on the phone with us at this time Elaine Green, the Executive Director of Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit. That's the first reason. And Elaine is going to share the exciting information about an event happening on Tuesday that has been a long time coming. Boy, oh boy, we can't wait to hear the details. Elaine, welcome. Thank you for calling in today.
Thank you for having me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So much going on with the Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit. We often still say formerly Dearborn Animal Shelter, but we're not going to have to say that any longer.
We're going to get beyond that.
Yeah, right, exactly. Once this whole new thing kicks in, and it already has certainly kicked in a number of other ways, we're just moving it on forward. So we've got a big event this Tuesday. Tell us, let's start off with the best news. Tell us a little bit about what's happening.
Well, we're going to dedicate our new Animal Adoption and Education Center. And it's been coming, we've been talking about it for years, we've been fundraising for years, but it's finally here. On Tuesday at 10 o'clock, we're going to do a dedication of the building. It's been named by an individual who has been very, very generous in her support of the organization. And after the dedication, we'll have tours of the building, and then we open up for adoption services at noon.
And you're not going to give us that scoop, are you, in terms of who it's named after?
No,
that's okay.
All right, we understand. We fully understand.
that makes sense. So what time is the actual dedication? I know you said you're going to actually open for business at noon, but what time, if people want to come see the actual dedication?
The dedication is at 10 a.m.
Okay, at 10 a.m. And in terms of location, again, this has certainly not been a well-kept secret. We've been trying to talk about this, the fundraising and the efforts going into this phase one, if you will, of the completion of this whole project. The new center located at the former Amtrak station, and it's on Reckinger Road just off of Michigan Avenue, right by the Henry Ford Centennial Library, of all things. So very, very excited that we are moving into this opportunity to get bigger and better, because the animals, you know, it's not getting smaller and smaller, the animals that we're working with, is it?
No, there's more need, and it changes all the time what people need, what the animals need. So this facility is going to be for adoptions at this point. We're still going to manage the shelter on Greenfield for our animal services intakes, lost and found, those types of things. The animals at the new facility are going to be up for adoption, and the building is, I have to say, beautiful. We have double compartments for all the animals so they can sleep and eat in one area and, you know, do their business on another side, something that we didn't have at the Greenfield shelter. We also have meet and greet rooms where you can actually take an adoptable animal into a separate room and interact with it and see if it's going to be your forever companion. So we are so excited to invite people to come in and see us. Kids will love it. The colors are wonderful. We made it very colorful. Building on the outside and inside, it's just as colorful. You can't miss it.
Now, is it the same structure as where the Amtrak building was? And believe me, anybody who's taken an Amtrak train out of Dearborn is used to sitting and waiting. I can only imagine what it feels like for the animals that are sitting and waiting for their forever homes. Is it the same building?
Well, it's not. We added on. So the animal shelter or the adoption center itself is a new build. It's 10,000 square feet. And we're attached to the Amtrak station. The Amtrak station will serve as our employee area until we do phase two, which is coming down the pike. That will be, as soon as we raise money to complete phase two, will include animal services, holding areas, offices, all of those kinds of things that we need to be a complete unit.
Phase two, the price tag, if you will, for that, they're saying about, it was a little over $3 million?
Yes, about 3.5.
Okay. How proud should we be of phase one? How much money did all that cost? And really, how proud should we be? Because the community certainly has rallied around this process.
Well, $5.1 million we raised. And it's everyone that comes in, I'm proud to say, tells us what a beautiful building this is. The flooring, all the windows, we have a lot of natural light coming in for the animals. We put into this building what animals need, natural light. We have heavy-duty HVAC system, so there's constant fresh air supply coming in, so it'll cut down on odors and also disease. We have separated the dog and the cat areas so the cats and the dogs don't hear each other. Those are things that stress animals out, and stress an animal, just like people, make them more susceptible to illnesses. So I think that given all the spaces that we have here and all of the upgraded technology, the animals will be doing really well here. And so will the visitors. They will enjoy it as well.
We have to think of that other component, and I know you're too humble, Elaine, to necessarily speak about this, but those of you that work with Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit, the employees, the people that are coordinating, that are running this, that are volunteering, not just coming in to adopt an animal, but boy, it's going to feel awfully nice for those of you that spend a great deal of time every day at the facility,
right?
Isn't it?
Well, the staff and the volunteers really deserve a nicer facility, just as much as the animals do. So, everyone's really excited to experience the adoption center.
We are in the fall season as we're getting, still got some crazy weather going on, of course, but it's Michigan. But as we move through into the fall, into the winter, is this a time where animal adoptions will potentially slow down, or will they maybe speed up or get a little bit more lucrative for the benefit of our pets, of our potential pets, as we move into a little more of a routine, I guess, with kids back at school and, a little cooler weather and so on? What's that like?
Typically, our adoptions, we do more adoptions in August and October, and of course December, than we do throughout the years. With our new facility, I'm hoping that it really creates an excitement and people coming here to look at the animals and fall in love. So we're hoping that it really helps our animals get into homes as quickly as possible. The intake for animals during this time probably decreases a little bit because people are home, they're more settled and not traveling, going on vacation, and those kinds of things. So it's not a bad time of year for us compared to some other times of year.
Sure. We are excited to have Elaine Green, Executive Director of Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit, on the air with us at this time. And we've talked a little bit about the dedication coming up this Tuesday, 10 a.m. at the new Phase 1 location. If someone is interested in being a part of the Animal Adoption Education Initiative, as sort of Phase 2 is kind of being called with that campaign, your Director of Marketing ready to take those checks? And how is that working? How can we get involved?
Absolutely. Peter Poulos is our Director of Marketing and Development, and you can just call up the shelter or email us at the shelter, and he will get with you and help you navigate whatever you want to do for the new facility. It's a wonderful cause, and the animals need this as well as the community. Yeah. So, it would be a great thing. You can probably get more information, or you can get more information on our website, which is www.metrodetroitanimals.org, or call us 313-943-2697, and we'll put you right to Peter, and he can help you out.
Sounds
help
good.
You help us.
Yeah, that's the way it is. You have some special programs kind of in the vein of donating. The pets program that we see a lot about on your website, if you want to just address that just briefly. And then also let's talk about those felines a little bit. I understand there's quite a few that need some homes.
Right. The pets program is a monthly program. Well, you can give monthly or annually with it. It's based on the number of adoptions, the number of animals that we save, and you pledge an amount of money, whether it be a dime, an animal, a nickel, 50 cents, whatever you'd like to donate. And when you sign up for it at the end of the year, we'll tell you how many animals were adopted, and whatever your pledge is, it helps us out. So we can plan ahead. It's always good to know what kind of donations are coming in the door so we can budget ourselves and make sure that we have the funds to take care of all the animals that we have. So you can get more information if you go on our website for the pets program. We also right now have for the next week, well, probably up until Tuesday, a reduced fee for cats, a $5 adoption fee, and it includes the sterilization, vaccinations, microchip, and we have plenty of adult kitties that are looking for a new home. On the 18th through the 22nd, we're going to have Family Day, which we're encouraging people to come out and visit us from noon to 4 o'clock. We'll have a face painter. We'll have balloon animals. We'll have pizzas being donated from a pizzeria to help us get out the word. And all the animals that are up for adoption between the 18th and the 22nd, the adoption fee will only be $25. And that's for dogs, puppies, kittens, anything that's up for adoption at the facility.
Now, if I can ask a general question, just in terms of the scale of the amount of animals that come through the program over the course of the year. You mentioned, you know, if you want to pledge a dime or 50 cents or $10 mm-hmm. per animal, how many animals, whether it's dogs or cats, or I don't know if you deal with lizards or rabbits or anything like that, how many animals come through the shelter over the course of the year?
We usually handle between 2,400 to 2,600 a year. But the pets program is related to the animals that are adopted, return to owners. So that number is generally around 2,000. Last year, we saved at 90% of our of the animals that came into our shelter.
That's a pretty impressive rate.
It is a great number, and it's because of supporters and people like you folks that help us get out the word that we can do such great things for the animals.
And it must require, you know, a lot of effort by not only volunteers but also trained veterinarians, and professionals on staff to help care for these animals.
Right, we have a staff of 30 people, and it's now that we're going to be running two facilities, we have to divide that staff in half. So we created some efficiencies in a new adoption center, so it shouldn't take as many people to care for the animals as it does at the older facility. But yeah, we have a lot of a lot of the community veterinarians are partnering with us to give us reduced rates for treatments and sterilization. And we have a great core of volunteers that spend a lot of time doing all kinds of things for us. We couldn't do what we do without our volunteers.
Are there any partners that you deal with in terms of, you know, supplies, or is a lot of that volunteer provided? And, you know, I mean, do you want someone to just come and drop off a 25-pound bag of dog food, or how do you manage the day-to-day side of that in terms of sheltering the animals?
Right. We do have a wish list on our website that will let people know what we really need to have.
Or cat food, by the way. I got the stink eye from Susan because I wasn't mentioning cats. Sorry.
Yeah. For all the animals, we have a wish list, and we have cat centers at PetSmart and Dearborn, Taylor and Pet Supply Plus in Dearborn, where we have some of our adoptable cats actually live at their store and get adopted from their stores, which is a big help. They also support us in other ways, like giving us, they donate items that are not selling well, food that maybe the bag is damaged, and help us get some of our supplies at cost. So yeah, there's quite a few community partners that we have that are very helpful and are very generous to us.
Yeah. Elaine, as we talk about the process that has led up to this exciting week coming up next week with both the dedication on the 18th and then the special opportunities from the 18th through next Saturday, the 22nd, for different adoption opportunities. What, you know, has it been probably close to 10 years since this has been in the works, and what has been perhaps the most frustrating, and then alternate to that, the most rewarding or exciting part of this process? Because I'm sure when you signed up years ago, you probably weren't anticipating that something this big was going to happen, and it's a wonderful thing.
Right. Well, it has been very exciting. It's one of the highlights of certainly my career to see this building go up. It's been longer. We've been talking about this probably for the past 15, 16 years, and doing some minor fundraising before that. The last couple years, we've been hitting it hard and heavy, trying to get this project done. And the people that came forward, the one person that I had mentioned who we're naming the building after, certainly opened their hearts and their pocketbook to make this happen for us. And that in itself is so rewarding and exciting for all of us that people care that much to make sure that this happens for the animals. People have been asking us, the frustrating part is, people have been saying, you've been talking about this for so many years. Didn't you build it already?
Oh, geez.
No, we did not. So now we're here, and all those people can now see that we weren't just talking, we were actually doing, and we can all celebrate.
As we should. Speaking potentially to an audience member that doesn't have a pet, that does not have an animal, and maybe it's a, you know, we know all the reasons why people are not in a position to take on the the role of pet owner. But for those that just maybe haven't considered it, that just haven't thought, I'd like to maybe give this a try sometime. So no other reasons why they can't, just they haven't for mm-hmm. who knows why. Speak to that heart. Speak to that person, Elaine, just if you will, because certainly this is not only a career choice for you, but incredibly, an incredible passion in your life. So I think out of anybody in our community that can speak to this topic, it would be you. So how would you suggest or convince someone to at least take a look?
Well, first of all, I think that people need to really think about their lifestyle. If they have the time and the capacity to care for an animal, because it's a big commitment. I think that visiting an animal shelter, maybe volunteering, might give them some information. We're always happy to counsel people and tell them what's involved in properly caring for a pet. Picking out the right type of animal is very important. If you don't have a yard and you don't want to exercise a dog, leash walk a dog, then you probably don't need a dog. Maybe a kitty would be something that would be a better fit for you. We also have a foster program, which is always in need of volunteers. So people would come and foster an animal for a period of time, and it depends on why we're fostering the animal out. If it's too young to go up for adoption, or it has maybe injury that needs to be treated, those kinds of things. People can, dip their toe in the pond a little bit by fostering an animal to see if it's something that they really want to do.
When I look at the logo for Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit, and I've every time we talk to someone from your organization, we talk about the beautiful heart with the little paw on it and everything. You get to see love connections all the time. How exciting is that?
It's the best part of the job. Is when people come to take a new family member, or even recover their lost pet. I mean, I would be frantic if I lost my pet, and to be able to return them in, back to their home, or someone opening up their heart to take an animal. I mean, we see people, I want, the hardest adoption case that you have. People like that come in here, not often enough, but they do. And it's just amazing how big their hearts are and how they'll take a 16-year-old dog or a 17-year-old cat with some issues, because they know what it is to love an animal, and they know what they get back when they do that. So
now, having chosen this as something to do, have you had that connection along the way? Where is that love for an animal, and where, how close to your heart is that?
Well, it's my life, really. I mean,
in other words, how many dogs and cats do you have?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, right now I have fewer animals than I've had in most of my life. I've had a house full of dogs and cats, but right now I have a special needs dog and a Chihuahua that came from a hoarding situation. And I'm so busy here, I don't have the time to take on more. And so I rely on my husband to do all of the all of the care for them. So
I'm there every morning putting the eye drops in our 13-year-old Shih Tzu. So yeah,
aww,
that's
right.
I know how it goes. So
it's a big commitment when you take a pet. So you have to keep that in mind, and make sure that you have the time to do that. So I would love more dogs and cats in my house, but I just right now spend.
You'd take them all if you could, I'm sure. but at least we know now that they have not only a great place to stay at the center on Greenfield, but also a great place to show their stuff and meet people at the new facility, which is going to be dedicated on Tuesday.
Right.
Yeah, it's so important that we finally get to talk about this sort of coming full circle. And we know it's phase one, and we know there's a phase two that's going to be sort of officially moving forward now. And we're just excited to be a part of showcasing the wonderful things that Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit have done. And I got to ask you, I've had a couple people talk to me in the past about T-shirts and mugs and bumper stickers and things. Mm-hmm. Do you have some of that swag available for sale, and how can we get that?
We do have some t-shirts. We will have them for sale from the dedication through Family Day. We just have some new designs. Mm. We are revamping our website, so we're going to take a look at doing some other types of branding and have some swag to offer. But right now, it's kind of limited. We do have like lunch bags and tote bags and those kinds of things. So if people are interested, they can call the shelter and we can show you our stuff. It's not up on our website yet, but it will probably be in a month or so.
Okay, good to know. And I have to say, love this quote that I took off of your website. This is from board chair Marianne Wright, and she's in talking about, I'm paraphrasing, in talking about moving forward and helping with the phase two, if you will. And she says, we're not done. If an animal has ever made a difference in your life, please consider a donation. So right. I just love that. That just sort of sums it all up. So we're proud of the efforts that have been put forth by the community, but mostly proud and excited, Elaine, with everything that you have contributed, your heart and soul, as well as the other employees and volunteers and everybody that's helped to make this this a reality as we move forward. So encouraging our audience, 10 o'clock Tuesday, go on over to the former Amtrak station there just off of Michigan Avenue near the library. And Elaine, of course, you'll be there. Will there be like an official ribbon cutting and all that kind of thing?
No, not a ribbon cutting. It's just going to be a dedication, but we have a little surprise trick that's going to happen at the dedication.
Ooh.
Hopefully it all comes off well. But, if you saw any of our video of our groundbreaking, mm-hmm. we had a dog digging in the dirt for our groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I saw that.
I can see where this is going.
I know, and I saw that video, and that's why I'm laughing so much. And I just got this vision of trying to put a big commemorative honorary pair of scissors in the hands of a couple of cats or something, with the whole ribbon thing. So that's not going to work. But I'm so glad you're thinking cutting edge, and this is exciting. We're so glad to have you here today, Elaine, and keep up the good work. Continued success. We'll continue to talk about what's happening with Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit, and we hope to see you on Tuesday.
Okay, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. It's the new WHFR Journal here on WHFR 89.3, also online at WHFR.fm. We'll be back to talk maybe a little bit more about animals after this break.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. This cat makes me make art. He's always motivating me to draw pictures of him. He just is motivating artistically. He's my best friend, but a lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat, YouTube star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Yo, guys and dolls, this is Daddy G. And the Malt Shop is moving to a new time slot. 1 p.m. every Tuesday here in WHFR. We're still spinning the platters from the 50s and 60s, just an hour earlier. That's 1 p.m. every Tuesday on 89.3 FM, WHFR.FM. Be there or be square.
This is the new WHFR Journal here on 89.3, online at WHFR.FM, making waves. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. We're so glad you could be with us for this edition of the new WHFR Journal. And we're going to wrap things up for our program today, following up on our last segment, talking about the new Friends of Animals of Metro Detroit and all of the exciting activities going on at the old Amtrak station here in Dearborn, and also their facility on Greenfield in Dearborn. We're going to follow it up and wrap things up for the program today with an exciting TED Talk that we have found for you that relates to the subject and kind of why we all get involved and care about not only the welfare of animals, but what they mean to us in our daily lives. It comes from a TEDx conference that was given at Ohio State University in Columbus, originally released in 2016. It features Dr. Rustin Moore talking about the power of the human-animal bond and the benefits of having a pet. He is the Dean and Ruth Stanton Chair of Veterinary Medicine at the Ohio State College of Veterinary Medicine, a board-certified equine surgeon who also has extensive experience in teaching and mentoring veterinary and graduate students, research and scholarship, and providing academic and scientific disciplinary leadership. So let's listen now to what he had to say back in 2016, talking about the power of a pet, here on the new WHFR Journal.
How many of you grew up with a pet or have one now? Wow, that looks about right. Actually, over 70% of people in America have at least one pet or companion animal. In fact, kids are more likely to live with a pet than what they are with their biological father or siblings. And children 7 to 8 years of age rank pets higher than people as providers of comfort, self-esteem, and as confidants. Animals are such agreeable friends. They ask no questions. They pass no criticism, so wrote George Eliot. That's a big reason we love them so much. Uh-oh. Oh, my gosh. I don't know who stuck this photo in there of me back in the day when I had some pretty long hair. But anyway, back then when I was growing up in rural West Virginia, I had all types of pets and animals. And when I became a veterinarian, I also, and an equine surgeon, I have treated countless animals in my career. However, one patient sticks out. While on faculty at LSU, I treated a very special patient, a pony named Molly. After Hurricane Katrina, Molly became stranded in a barn for nearly 10 days before she was rescued, adopted, and taken to a nearby farm. Unfortunately, about 2 months later, she was attacked by a dog, and the power of the dog's bite crushed the blood vessels and effectively killed the lower part of her right front leg. Her veterinarian contacted me to ask if I would be willing to consider doing an amputation and fitting Molly with a prosthesis. After some debate and being very skeptical, I decided that after watching Molly, it was in fact her that convinced me if there was ever a patient to perform this on, it was her. Fortunately, 10 years later, Molly is still going strong. However, her purpose and role in life have changed. She now visits cancer camps, children's hospitals, veteran care, and elder care facilities, and gives them hope and courage and lets them know that it's okay to look and be different. I will never forget the confident smile on this young boy's face who lost a leg to bone cancer, or to this elderly veteran amputee who literally came to life when they met Molly. Molly is a perfect example of the power of the human-animal bond. In many instances, an animal or pet is the most important or stable part of a family structure, perhaps the only positive relationship someone has. We know that women who are in situations of domestic violence will oftentimes not leave it simply because they're fearful for what might happen to that pet left behind. And yet, very few shelters will allow a pet. Bev and Roy are homeless here in Columbus, Ohio. They have been offered shelter and housing, but will not take it because they would have to leave their four-legged furry family members behind. When asked, why not just give up your pets, get off the street, and get into housing, they both said to me, we cannot do that. I cannot give up Boo Boo or Tigger. He's my family. That would be like me giving up my child. Now listen to that. People in situations of homelessness or domestic violence will not give up their pets. That's a powerful bond. Research has shown and is recognizing the importance of this human-animal bond on the health and well-being of individuals, families, and communities. Researchers have coined a term for this phenomenon, zoea. Zoea are those positive health benefits, whether physical, social, behavioral, emotional, mental, or psychological, for people who have a pet or interact with one. So why care about this? The reason is it's important for us to convince the healthcare community of the need for change, from physicians to caregivers, insurance providers to policymakers. They need to understand and recognize the legitimate impact and importance of animals on the health and well-being of people. You're probably sitting there saying, okay, show me the proof. Well, I will share some examples and data that I'm pretty confident will convince you of this phenomenon. There's been substantial research documenting this, and I will provide some, including some physiological evidence, including hormonal changes, decreases in stress and blood pressure, improved weight loss, decreases in cholesterol and triglycerides, among other health benefits. Billions of dollars are saved each year in the healthcare system when people are healthy, and it's been shown that animals play a vital role in that good physical and mental health. I will share three examples with you where it's been shown that pet interaction is actually having a positive benefit on these individuals: autism, Alzheimer's, and post-traumatic stress syndrome. Autistic spectrum disorder is actually a complex developmental disability that typically first manifests in early childhood and is characterized by an inability to communicate or interact socially with others. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have estimated that the prevalence of this has increased to 1 in 68 births in the United States, or 1 in 54 boys. Take a moment and read this letter from a 14-year-old autistic boy who was at a correctional facility in Marysville, Ohio, and he was being treated for physical, emotional, and learning challenges. Isn't it ironic that what he identified that Oswald needed, which he was actually training to become an adoptable dog, were the very things that he needed as a child but did not experience: family, love, fun, people to be around, and a set of rules to follow. Oswald gave this boy a chance for a better life. And that's only one of the reasons I'm so passionate about the human-animal bond. Research with people that have Alzheimer's or dementia are remarkably similar. Nearly 5.5 million people in the United States have Alzheimer's, and millions more have other forms of dementia. So how can an animal or a pet help these individuals? They serve as companions. Dogs are naturally born listeners and can provide positive nonverbal feedback and communication. And animals have been shown to decrease anxiety, agitation, and aggressive behavior. This is Alan when he was 78 years old. He has non-Alzheimer's dementia and was participating in an equine therapeutic intervention study along with some others, and part of that was to visit horses on a regular basis. After every visit to the horses, Alan would repeatedly ask, when can we go see Jack? Can I ride Jack? Can I have Jack? Well, Alan could remember much, but he never forgot these horse experiences. And in fact, 4 years later, on his 82nd birthday, he asked again, when can we go see Jack? Can I ride him? Can I have him? And so you can see the power and importance of the human-animal bond is as strong as ever, regardless of age or mental capacity. Post-traumatic stress syndrome, or PTSD, is a psychiatric disorder that can occur following the witnessing or experiencing of a life-threatening or traumatic event, whether that be combat in a war zone, a serious accident, a natural disaster, a terrorist attack, or physical or sexual assault. Nearly 8% of Americans will deal with PTSD sometime during their lifetime. Meet Ryan, Ryan is a first-year student at our College of Veterinary Medicine. I first became acquainted with Ryan last year when I read his personal essay as part of his application to veterinary school. And with Ryan's permission, I'm going to share his story. Ryan grew up like I did in rural West Virginia, and he had a Cocker Spaniel named Jim that was his confidant for 11 years. When Jim died, Ryan experienced true grief for the first time at the age of 17. Seeking adventure in his life, he joined the Army and was later deployed to a war zone where he was critically injured. In fact, so much so that he had to retire from the military with medical conditions and also with a diagnosis of PTSD. Ryan said that although he recovered physically, the damage that was done would require more than medicine to heal. His mother, watching him struggle, gave him a life-changing gift, a runty Great Dane puppy that Ryan named Izzy. In Ryan's application, he said, "This dog saved my life. It amazes me how the bond we developed brought me back to life. Izzy got me through some difficult times." When Izzy died about 2 years ago, Ryan's roommate noticed that Ryan was slipping backward in dealing with his PTSD. And he said to Ryan, "Maybe you should get another dog." And Ryan said, "Maybe I should." And so together they went out and found another Great Dane puppy. And Ryan appropriately and ironically named this new puppy and companion, Maybe. Ryan says that he's thankful and grateful for Maybe to help him get through and be successful in the stressful and rigorous demands of veterinary school. Now, this Great Dane puppy will become a big dog. And not everyone can handle a Great Dane. So it's wise to consult a veterinarian about the most appropriate type of pet for a given situation so that you can actually achieve the health benefits that's meant to be had by having a pet. Also, not everyone can have a pet for a variety of reasons. Fortunately, it's been shown that even brief interactions with a pet can have those same positive benefits. So therefore, seek out opportunities and activities where you can interact with a pet or an animal. Perhaps you volunteer at a local shelter and walk dogs, or maybe you just go visit your friends or family who have a pet. So armed with this information, what can we do? We can tell our family and friends about Zuwaya and the positive health benefits on us, which is scientifically proven. We can talk to the healthcare professionals on the human side and encourage change. Medical teams should be asking patients about pets in the medical history taking. The reason is this has been shown to increase rapport and trust with the physician and the entire healthcare team, which is likely to lead to the patient revealing information important to their healthcare. If you have a pet and you're not asked about it in the medical history taking, take the time to tell them about the pet and the important role it plays in your life. We can also heighten the awareness among the health profession about the importance of incorporating a pet into the therapeutic or wellness plan, because this has been shown to increase patient compliance. You can also simply ask your doctor or a healthcare professional how a pet might improve your health or that of a loved one. And finally, encourage your physician to write a prescription for a pet or an interaction with one. Speaking of that, and on a personal note, about a year ago, I was given this prescription. Adopt 2 black miniature schnauzers and spend at least 10 minutes with them as needed to decrease stress and anxiety. I took that advice. And since adopting Travis Lincoln and Teddy Luther in December of 2014, my life and perspectives have changed dramatically. My stress level is down, my priorities are different, and my personal and professional relationships are enhanced. I can tell you that Travis and Teddy make me laugh and smile multiple times a day, every day. So what can we do? We can actually encourage the healthcare profession, the public, governmental agencies, health insurance providers, and others to understand, accept, and embrace the power and importance of the human-animal bond and Zuwaya. Remember the power of a pet. Now, I couldn't end this without introducing you to the 2 boys in my life that have actually enriched it and inspired this presentation. So join me in welcoming Travis Lincoln and Teddy Luther. ever seen this many people. Thank you very much.
Dr. Rustin Moore, the Dean and Ruth Stanton Chair of Veterinary Medicine at the Ohio State College of Veterinary Medicine, talking about the power of a pet and his idea of zoea, which obviously explores the power of the human and animal bond and the benefits of having a pet. Wrapping up today's edition of the new WHFR Journal, I'm Alan Mazurek. Thanks so much for being with us this hour. We've had a lot of great discussion about things taking place here on the HFC campus. We've explored intimately the power of the human and pet bond, and we also had a great opportunity to talk with the Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit. Don't forget that coming up this Tuesday, September 18th, they will be opening their brand new Animal Adoption and Education Center, located in what we in the Dearborn area affectionately know as the old Amtrak station, where you will be able to look at the brand new facility that they have there. That's where adoptions will take place, offices will be based, and a wonderful new place for pets that are in need and pets that can enrich your life. Thanks so much for being with us. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week with another edition of the new WHFR Journal here on 89.3 WHFR.FM. We're always making waves.
Hey, all you loyal listeners, be sure to check out WHFR's Big Bad Blues Bash fundraiser, happening Saturday, October 13th at PJ's Lager House in Detroit from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. featuring three of the hottest blues bands around. Appearing live will be Big B and the Actual Proof, Bull Halsey, and the Boa Constrictors. These are three groups that you will not want to miss. All we ask is that you be 21 or above, and for a $5 donation to our wonderful station. That's WHFR's Big Bad Blues Bash Saturday, October 13th at PJ's Lager House. Be there!
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
Time, and that's where my baby stays.